David Bromberg was once a legendary name in American music. He came up in the Greenwich Village folk scene, collaborated with Bob Dylan, Joan Baez, George Harrison, the Grateful Dead, and then he disappeared. He stopped performing, stopped writing songs. He moved to Wilmington, Delaware, and opened a violin shop and built an entirely new career as a collector and dealer. But now at age 70, David Bromberg is back. He put together a quintet, recorded a Grammy-nominated album, and even set out on tour, including a stop here, where a bunch of public radio producers crowded into a studio to hear him play.
Okay. I am the strongest man alive.
I am the strongest man alive.
I have cheated death a thousand times, that foul and greedy thief. But I've buried many comrades, which has brought me endless grief. I alone live on while all around my friends and loved ones die.
I am the strongest man alive.
Well, it is so great to have you back playing music and performing. So thank you for coming back.
Oh, I'm having fun, or I wouldn't be doing it.
We're talking because you're in a kind of second act. You had the first part of your career where you played with tons and tons of people and toured a ton. And then you just stopped for 2-3 decades? Something
about
like that?
22 years.
22 years. I know you got burned out touring, but what made you decide to just stop?
Because I was too dumb to realize that it was burnout. When you say that I toured a lot, I toured too much. I was on the road at one point for 2 years without being home for 2 weeks. And I realized when I finally got home that I wasn't jamming, I wasn't practicing, I wasn't writing. So instead of concluding that I was burnt out, I figured I wasn't a musician and that I had to find another way to lead my life.
That must have been really painful.
It was pretty painful. It was a personality problem.
Crisis.
Crisis, yeah.
So you wound up, luckily, finding another whole career, this thing with the violins. Actually, you learned how to make violins, right?
Yeah, I did. I learned how to make them not because I wanted to be a maker. What has always attracted me is being able to determine when and where, and if possible, by whom a violin was made.
Why do you like that?
It's a mystery. It's fun. it's like solving a crossword puzzle when you solve it.
So this is a whole second career that you developed, and you wound up with the biggest violin collection in the world, and yet now you're back performing, and you've got this great quintet. What got you back into performing?
When I moved to the town of Wilmington from Chicago, Chicago is where I studied violin making and also violin identification. And when I moved to Wilmington, I had lunch a few times with the mayor, who told me that there used to be live music all up and down the street on which my shop is and that I live on, and he'd like to see that again. And the only way I could think of to help bring that about would be start a couple of jam sessions. I figured they would run for a month or so, and then I'd let them go, and they'd live or die on their own.
And this was just whoever felt like coming in?
Well, what happened was that some really fine musicians started coming in, and some of them traveled quite a distance.
A word went out in the music circles, hey, David Bromberg's having jam sessions.
Yes, and people basically that's up. It. And playing with good musicians again, I started to enjoy it, and I figured, well, why not?
And was it hard getting back into it? I mean, had you played much yourself just privately over the years?
No, I hadn't played much at all.
God, I can't imagine trying to get your hands back.
Well, the jam sessions helped me do that to the extent that it got done. You know, I play a little differently these days. I don't play as fast as I used to. But somehow in the interim, I learned to sing a lot better than I used to. And I'll take that trade.
Well, tell us a little bit about what you've been playing. Like, what's the song that you just played, Strongest Man Alive? Tell us about that one.
That's an old English drinking song that I wrote.
That's a neat trick.
I figure I was channeling an old English drunk or something. That's the song, and from there it goes into a song called, an instrumental called Maydell's Reel, and then to an Irish tune called Jenny's Chickens.
How old is Jenny's chickens?
I don't know if that's proper English. That's an old tune, and I don't think there's a human alive who could tell you how old it is.
So I read an interview with you, or saw an interview you had done, where you commented that in a lot of your earlier music, anger drove a certain amount of it, or at least that the music was a good place to put a certain amount of anger. Do you still feel that?
Not as much as I did. I think maybe I've grown up a little bit. As a child, I mean, this is intimate stuff, but I may as well tell you, I was not allowed to be angry. It was completely forbidden. And I discovered I could be angry in music, and those things were very well received. So that's where that came from. But, after a couple of shrinks and a lot of time with a loving family, I've grown up a little.
Your father, I think, was a psychotherapist also.
He was. He was a psychiatrist, which, I mean, people say that doctors are usually like their specialties. And we'll just leave it there.
Well, I've kind of been circling around this question of what it means to be playing, making music, creating anything at different stages of life. You know, there's in music and in so much of the arts, there's this powerful stereotype of the young phenom, you know, this idea that youth and creative fire go together. And I guess what I'm really curious about is whether you think there should be or could be a different model for late life creativity.
Well, I've heard it said that age, wisdom, and caginess will defeat youth and enthusiasm every time. But yeah, I mean, you settle into things. I am who I am. I'm not about to change. The guys that I play with are very definitely who they are, and they're not about to change no matter how much I try. I love them as they are, and they'll always be who they are. And it comes through in their music.
Do you feel like what you hear in music has evolved over time?
You see, I live my life in this body day to day to day to day, and it's really difficult for me to observe some difference. It's too subtle for me. I turned 70 earlier this year. That's a lot of years behind me, and I'm sure there have been a lot of changes, but I'm too busy observing what's going on around me or being in the moment to worry about what I was 10 minutes ago. I'd rather be right where I am now. When I was a kid, I got a tape recorder, a Voice of Music tape recorder, and I started taping. A neighbor had a great blues collection, and I started taping those 78s. And after a certain point, I realized I was spending more time taping them and organizing the tapes than I was listening to them. And at that point, I quit recording things. And when I say recording things, I mean taking photos. I just want to be there.
You ever listen back to any of your old recordings?
I never have.
Ever?
Never. I mean, I've been in situations where I've heard them, and I'll either cringe or, that one wasn't too bad. You've heard your voice back.
Yeah, and I don't make a big point of it either.
There you go.
Can you guys give us one more tune?
Sure. Never hit 17 when you play against the dealer, because you know the odds won't ride with you. And never leave your woman alone with friends around to steal her. Years are gambled and lost like summer wages. So we'll keep rolling on till we get to Vancouver, and the woman I love is living there. It's been 6 long months or more since I've seen her. Maybe gambled and lost like summer wages.
David Bromberg and his quintet, performing for a public radio audience in our studio. They played tunes from the album Only Slightly Mad. To the best of our knowledge, comes to you from Madison, Wisconsin, and the studios of Wisconsin Public Radio. Raymond Tungekar produced this hour, with help from Craig Ely, Doug Gordon, and Charles Monroe Kane, also Joe Hartke. Our theme music comes from Steve Mullen from Walk West Music. Kirill Owen is our technical director. Steve Paulson is our executive producer. I'm Ann Strainchamps. Thanks for joining us.